This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Xiao Ning and Philip. It's just gone past 7:49 in the morning. It's Monday, the 26th of April. And last week, Malaysia became the first country to sell a dollar-denominated sustainability sukuk. It issued an $800 million 10-year sukuk and a $500 million 30-year one, which were oversubscribed by 6.4 times.
The proceeds are designated for social and green projects. This is also a noteworthy development since Malaysia rarely ever issues debt in a foreign currency. Now, in light of this morning, we're taking a look not only this latest sukuk, but at Malaysia's debt issuances in general. That is, how much headroom do we have before we hit the 60% debt-to-GDP limit? And what's our current standing with the rating agencies?
So for some insights on this, joining us on the show this morning is Firdaus Rosli, Chief Economist at the Malaysian Rating Corporation, otherwise known as MARC. Good morning, Firdaus. Now, the Malaysian government issued the world's first US dollar sustainability sukuk. Is this a significant new development in your view?
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thank you for having me today. It's three things to note here. One is that it is a first mover advantage thing in my view, in the sense that by issuing the world's first US dollar sustainable sovereign sukuk, Malaysia continues to assert its dominant position as a global player in the Islamic finance scene. So Malaysia is currently the world's largest sukuk market with year-to-date total outstanding sukuk standing at $286.8 billion, which is equivalent to 39.6% of the total global outstanding. Secondly, is the successful reception of the sukuk itself demonstrates the ongoing strong appetite for Malaysian debt, despite the rise in yields seen in the ringgit debt market, where the cumulative foreign inflows during the May 2020 to March 2021 was the longest monthly streak on record, amounting to 53.9 billion ringgit. And this is amid the economic recovery narrative that we've heard over the last few weeks, aka the V-shaped recovery prospect, where the expectation of inflation have increased, driving bond prices lower and yields higher. And thirdly, the COVID-19 pandemic itself has also boosted the demand for sustainability-linked bonds. I think all in all, it was a good mix between the demand and the Malaysia's dominant position in the global sukuk market.
So just help us contextualize, because oversubscription 6.4 times, how attractive is this then, you know, compared to other previous issuances we've seen recently?
Yeah, so the bid to cover ratio, i.e. the amount of bids received in the auction versus the amount sold of 6.4 times for the US dollar sukuk is higher than any local currency domestic government bonds being tendered so far. Just as a matter of comparison, local currency domestic government sukuk, for example, the GII, reported BTC ratios ranging from 1.4 times to 4.3 times since January 2017. Meanwhile, the MGS reported BTC ratios ranging from 1.2 times to 3.8 times for the same period. So all in all, it was a good, rather handsome ratio, I think.
And is it because it's US dollar denominated? That's why it's got more attraction and oversubscription driven?
Yes, but to be specific, the anticipation of future US interest rate movement, where we have seen how investors are pouring into US dollar dominated assets amid the assumption that the US economic recovery would outpace the majority of developed economies due to the continued progress in the vaccine rollout and also the massive fiscal stimulus plans. So we have also seen the strengthening labor market, where workers filing for jobless benefits continues to fall, bringing to the unemployment rate in the US lower to 6.2% today from 14.4% just 11 months ago. And also with the expectation of US dollar appreciating, investors will also can expect higher real returns in future.
And Firdaus, another first for us in a long time was issuing this sukuk in US dollar. But there are risks considering that it is in a foreign currency. Why do you think it was decided to do so this time?
Many reasons. First of all, I think the like I said just now, the anticipation of future interest rate movement, the thing is, if it were in the local currency, or i.e. in ringgit, then it would probably be calculated in the statutory debt calculations, which as you rightly pointed out, we have very little room left. Whereas if it's in US dollar, then you know it is not part of the statutory debt calculation.
But there are risks, right, if let's say the US dollar does appreciate. I mean, in the past, we have seen like other countries like Indonesia in 1997. Are we very far away from this risk?
Well, here's the thing. Well, right now, the total foreign currency dominated debt is low of about plus minus 3% of total debt. It is not, I wouldn't say healthy per se, but, you know, because one would argue, you know, why 3% and not 5 or 1%. But the low composition of external debt for Malaysia helps us in two ways. Number one, it reduces our exposure to foreign currency risk, as changes in the US interest rate can impact the dollar. It makes sense to limit our exposure on policies or events that are beyond our control. So furthermore, with minimal exposure, Malaysia is able to invest in its economic future and withstand future crises like what we've seen right now. And secondly, to control our debt service charges, as domestic debt instruments account for almost 98% of debt service charges, any spike of such ratio due to, say, a drop in total revenue can be mitigated by lowering the OPR. So it is about within our control that that can reinforce our explicit autonomy in both fiscal and monetary policy making. With the US dollar dominated sukuk, however, it is still very low. We have a little bit of room there, but so far, so good, I would say.
Now, Firdaus, you brought a very interesting point that USD dollar denominated debt doesn't count as part of that debt to GDP limit of 60%, right? So is this actually a form of clever accounting then?
To be honest, that's not for me to say, because you could argue either way. But one would argue that, you know, you could argue from your standpoint, but also one could also argue that it is also to take advantage of the US dollar having an ultra low interest rate environment at this point in time. And also because the duration is pretty long, in excess of 20 to 30 years. So any sudden movement in interest rate can be fairly mitigated.
Because there's a limit to the 60% debt to GDP, and we've now found an alternative solution out of it, if you were to see the government issuing more kind of debt like this, right, what would be the nature and structure going forward beyond this first issuance then?
If we were to go on this route, issuing US dollar denominated debt, first of all, like I said, it would expose ourselves into two things, like what I mentioned. One is the foreign currency risk, and the other one is the debt service structures. So it sort of exposes our finances into things that are not beyond our control. If the Fed decides to increase their interest rate before 2023, subject to, you know, due to whatever circumstances they can think of, we do not have a say, and we just have to take it as it is. Similarly, if there are events like a pandemic, for example, or any sort of crisis that would affect our debt service ratio, and the impact on our revenue, that would also put us in a very tight situation. So it's a yes and no kind of answer.
Okay, very quickly, Firdaus, one last question. If we continue to issue debt, at what point does the Malaysian government risk international rating agencies downgrading their outlook?
Here's the thing. We believe that that continuing issuance of debt does not pose a problem, provided that the economy grows in tandem or at a much faster speed, pace. And debt servicing capacity remains intact. All in all, we think that it is about the growth rates. But the real question is, do we have what it takes socially, economically, and politically to create another round of growth spurt, or at the very least, maintain the past growth rates amid the pandemic? Right now, we've seen that in the last 10 years, for example, our economic growth has not been quite substantial compared to the previous previous decade, where our growth recorded at 5.3% versus 9.3% in the decade before the Asian financial crisis. So it's the bigger the growth rates gap between Malaysia and other similarly rated credit peers, the better. Right now, it's shrinking.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Firdaus Rosli, Chief Economist at the Malaysian Rating Corporation, giving us his views on the recent, the first ever Malaysia US dollar denominated Sukuk sustainability bonds, which was oversubscribed by 6.4 times. But we're heading into the 8 a.m. news bulletin, where after that, Koo Soo Chuang will be speaking to Tiong Teck Lien, Group CEO of GDEX, on the Breakfast Grill. But before that, retirement is one of the most important financial goals that many of us have but worry will fail to achieve. Join BFM's Ringgit and Sense webinar to help demystify the path to retirement and learn ways to achieve it. Catch this webinar this Wednesday, April 28th at 12:30 p.m. on facebook.com/BFM Radio, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.